Welcome to Toy Business Unboxed, your gateway to the secrets of the toy industry. Here, Jason Shea, a toy entrepreneur and expert in the field.
Every product we develop is really inspired by some of the real life experience that we have with our son.
60% of all toys last year were sold on Amazon, which is incredible.
Be passionate about it because it's a road, it's a journey.
Like when you have an idea that you think is like gonna somewhat like change the world, make things better, I'd say go for it.
We'll guide you through the enchanting world of toy design, marketing, and manufacturing. Now let the unboxing begin.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Toy Business Unboxed. Today, we're thrilled to interview Ryan, the creator of What's the Point, the Cat's Car Game. For the last 4 years, Ryan has dedicated himself to bring his idea for a family-friendly car game to life, doing everything from designing the artwork to fine-tuning the gameplay. And also with a background in IT and problem solving, he really combined his technical skill and creative vision to create the game that a family of all ages can enjoy together. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today, Ryan.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us how this idea of your car game first came to you years ago?
So What's the Point was a passion project of mine. I developed it when I was in college, when I wasn't out partying and studying. I was working on What's the Point. And for me, actually, what sparked the whole kind of I want to create a game is while I was in school, I got diagnosed with Crohn's disease. Yeah. And I was hospitalized for about a month. And when I was in the hospital, I played about every game there was that I could get my hands on. I was playing every game I could.
Okay.
And when I got out of the hospital and I got back to school, I was bored of the selection of games that I had. And I was really inspired by how much joy those games gave me while I was lying in a bed for a month. And yeah. I was like, you know what? I want to do something like that. I just started creating ideas. I started with flashcards and little scribbles and rules. And I wasn't sure what the game was going to be. I just knew I wanted to make a game.
Okay. And this is your first time creating the game too, right?
Yes. I've only made the one game. One game. What's the point? It's just super family friendly. I don't know if you want to talk about that now or we're going to go into
it later. You can also introduce the mechanism for the game as well.
For those who love games, the closest game I could compare it to is Exploding Kittens. If you haven't played that game, it's there's like action cards. It's very fast paced. And I like that. So I was inspired by that. In my game, What's the Point? The goal is to collect character cards. So there's three sets of character cards and you're collecting three of a kind. To build points, to collect points, hence the player with the most points at the end of the game wins. And you're using action cards to steal from other players, take advantage of them, strategize. And it's a very fast-paced, great game. It takes about 20 minutes to play, so you get a couple of games in an hour. And yeah, it was just a huge passion project of mine. I would take it to clubs on campuses to get their feedback. I would take it to bars and restaurants where I would meet people and I would say, hey, would you like to play my game? Give me some feedback. I would take their feedback and I would make it happen. For me, feedback was the most important aspect of the game because you can have a game with terrible instructions, terrible rules, and no one's going to love it. No one's going to fall in love with it. And I wanted a game that was easy to understand, that my younger cousins and my grandparents could just sit down and learn and be able to just play. So for me, a lot of it was like, I want something I'm proud of. Everyone of any age can play, easy to understand. I'm really excited, actually. So we launched in December of 2020 was when I launched the game.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've been at it for about 4 years and I'm really excited. This last week, I actually had a big milestone. I'm celebrating 17,000 copies sold.
Oh, congratulations.
Really exciting. I'm in a bunch of stores all throughout Arizona. I'm in 270 stores nationwide. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just been a lot of trial and error and a lot of pushing and marketing to try to get into those stores. I've had a lot of help from my parents. My dad has helped a lot with the marketing side and helping me. Because this is what would happen is I'd go into a store and I'd be like, here is my pride and joy. Would you like to carry it on the shelf? And they'd be like, sure, we'll give it a try. And what will happen is they'll come back to me and they'll say, oh, it didn't sell all that great. And I'm not a salesperson, so I curl up in a ball. Or they'll be like, we didn't like the game. I get defensive. My dad is the other way around. He will be, did you have it on the right part of the shelf? did you even play it out of kids' reach? It's not going to sell. They're helping me out, and it's been great ever since my dad.
And also, I think one of the reasons you mentioned about Arizona, hence the design of
Cactus, yes.
I assume, right?
Yes. A lot of people always ask me, Ryan, why did you choose to draw cacti? And it was really a really easy answer, actually. When I first did this, the theme could have been anything, right? The gameplay worked. The theme could be anything. And I started reaching out to artists. And I was like, how much would you charge to do my game? So for those who don't know, the game has 120 cards in the game.
Yeah.
Each one needed a unique drawing because it's a game of matching.
Yeah.
And you can't. So for me, I needed like 90 different drawings. Yeah. So I would reach out to artists and they would quote me insane numbers. And at the time, I didn't have any money. I'm a broke college student living off ramen. So them saying, oh, it's like $100 a drawing. I was like, get out of here. I can't afford that. Now in today's world, after I've had some, and you should probably pay an artist to do your artwork. But for me, I couldn't afford it. So I did it myself. I did all the artwork myself. I chose cacti because they're easy to draw. You can't really just if they have an imperfection, then that's just part of the plant. So for me, it was just, I did my own artwork. It's a unique style. It's not going to show up great here on the video, but if you have a chance to look it up, the art style, I would sketch out the drawings. I would bring them onto the computer and I would highlight, I would outline them with an outline. And then I would print them out and I would watercolor paint each drawing. And then I rescanned it into the computer and then cropped it and made sure it looked good in the card. But yeah, every drawing is watercolor painted and hand drawn by me. A lot of them were inspired by some of my favorite movies and some just like funny scenes that I think would happen. Like I have a cactus that looks like a dinosaur. I just thought that was funny. That's not a thing, but I wanted it to be a thing. I've got like cacti being lifted up by UFOs, being abducted. I've got pirate cacti. I've got all sorts of stuff, explosions. For me, when I was making the artwork, it was just like, what came to mind? What was funny? So like a giant explosion with stop signs flying out. That looks fun.
How long does that took you to hand draw the design?
It took a while. So for just the gameplay, to get the gameplay down, took me about a year and a half of brainstorming, troubleshooting, figuring out why the gameplay was, because sometimes removing or adding to the game will drastically change how it plays. Once I had it down and I knew what I wanted and how the game was playing, I started working on the artwork. The artwork took a long time. I would do about a car or two every weekend. It took a while. So for me, the entire process from start to finish took about 3.5 years. I actually had a lot more time to sit down and buckle down and start working on more drawings. For me, the start of COVID was a little helpful because I was able to have the time to do the artwork. And I was very fortunate to be able to launch my game during COVID. I launched on Kickstarter. I had never really heard of Kickstarter, but people said that was the place to start. Yeah. And I tried it and I had great success. Yeah. I was asking originally for about, I don't quite remember, I think like $3,000, and I ended up raising close to 10.
Oh, wow.
And
really not bad. Yeah.
I was able to use that money to buy my initial product, get it to the people who pre-order, because I used Kickstarter as a pre-order. If you pledged $25, I would give you the game. And I started off with 500 games. And then I ordered 1,000 and then 2,000, 5,000. And now I'm ordering quantities of 10,000. So it's definitely filling up my garage. I don't have a warehouse. All of this is shipping to my garage. And then my poor parents, I roped them into this. So now I've consumed their garage. So for the better part of 2.5 years, my parents have not been able to park inside. I filled up their garage with
It's got a warehouse.
They're fortunate. They live in a place that doesn't have snow. And I live in a place that has snow. I utilize that. They can park outside. They're fine.
And I think I want to go back to, you mentioned about how your dad has been very instrumental when it comes to marketing your product. And also you're getting some success on the retail side as well. Can you also share your experience working with Amazon as well for your card game?
Yeah. Amazon at the moment is the number one income source for me. I didn't think that at first. I actually was skeptical of Amazon when I first started working with them. And for me, it was just, it's like, I'm not doing any marketing. It seems expensive to get into it. It seems complicated. But then once I started working on Amazon and working with you, I saw crazy numbers. So now, like, as much as I love my brick and mortar stores and selling to those customers, and I will still do that. Amazon is a great platform where I am doing, you are doing a lot of work, but it is phenomenal, the numbers that we're seeing. It's my primary income for the company right now is on Amazon.
What would you say are the biggest challenge when you try to do it, you know, yourself before do you decide to partner with our team?
My biggest issue with Amazon because I was first just trying to I could figure it out. And I figured out, I would say a good 60% of it, I had it pulled together with Band-Aid and tape. Amazon's environment is not user-friendly. Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe it's just me. I'm tech savvy. I literally fix computers. I do IT. It's not like I'm not tech savvy. They're just environment. It's so confusing. And it's hard to sometimes get the answers you want answered. Yeah. And then their support team is terrible. You could have the same problem and you just have to keep prying at Amazon until eventually just magically it works. So I really struggled with that. And then I really struggled with the advertising. So when I first went on, I would turn on advertising and I would spend $300 in a day. $300 would be spent within the first hour of the day.
Yeah.
And I would get no sales. So okay, that's strange. Let's refine this. And I thought I was refining it. I was using their automated tools and whatnot, but I would get the same result. I would just spend less money, but I would get the same results. And I was frustrated with it. I felt like it was a waste of time, a waste of money. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was being scammed. Honestly, I felt like Amazon's ads were scamming me. Until your team stepped forward and you've been perfecting it. I've been working with you for, about 4 or 5 months now. And you've been perfecting it and tweaking it. And I've been seeing great results finally from ads. And that's great because I was on Amazon for 2.5 years before I started working with you. And I wouldn't do any ads. And now all of a sudden it's doing phenomenal. So thank you again for that.
Thank you. Yeah. And I think Amazon ad is very tricky because it always changes. And it's really hard for busy business owner like yourself to keep up with the changes. That's like a full-time job already, just to keep up with the changes with Amazon.
It seriously is. Yeah, I agree.
So that's very difficult as well. Thank you so much for sharing some of your experience working with our team with the Amazon side. Also, your product is very unique and our team could be doing all the right work, but if the product is not unique enough, it's still going to fall short. So I think your product is also very unique in the marketplace.
Thank
that
you.
Really helps help with the advertising effort as well. One of my other questions is, were there any other major challenges that you face while you're developing the game and how do you overcome some of them?
For me, starting a business in general from the ground up was a challenge. I've never done anything in business ever before and I didn't consult anyone when I was creating my business. So a lot of it was late nights doing research. For me, because of my age and I was in school, the biggest challenge was money. I wanted to do all of these things, but it was just so expensive. So I had to figure it out myself. I had to learn. When you're working with companies and manufacturing any product, there's a lot of testing and you want to see what your product looks like. And getting demos of products is not cheap. Just to get one box manufactured in the colors and the cardstock that I wanted, it was like $400, $500 a box. That was a lot of money for me. And I struggled with that. So my biggest thing was learning everything on my own. If I could go back and do it again with the knowledge that I have, I would probably reach out to professionals to help me guide me through the process. Because maybe it wouldn't have taken me 4 years to build this business. Maybe it would have only taken me half the amount of time. But I definitely learned a lot doing it myself. And I think that I've grown a lot as a person for doing this myself. So yeah, I think just overall though, it's good to get help. Even if it seems expensive, maybe that's okay. Maybe if you believe in your product enough, maybe I should have taken out loans or something. But I don't know. I didn't know. I think I didn't believe in it enough. I was like, oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be a great game. But I didn't ever think I was going to sell 17,000 of them. I don't know, yeah. 800 and call it a weekend or something. I don't know. I didn't think I'd get this far. If you had told me 4 years ago or 8 years ago that I would be still selling this product, I wouldn't believe you.
Okay, that's a new perspective. So you spend all this time. What keep you going? What keep you motivated over all this time?
That is a million-dollar question, Jason. I don't know if I have the knowledge to know what motivates someone. For me, just personally, I was really driven by creating something that other people could enjoy. Okay. That's like my whole personality. I'm the kind of person who has hosted. Have you ever seen the show Survivor?
Survivor, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm someone who frequently has hosted a Survivor party at my house. For the money, I invite people over and they compete in challenges at the title of Soul Survivor. I go all out. Like, I get buffs. I get obstacle courses.
Oh, whoa.
I just do that because I want to create enjoyment in others. I enjoy seeing people happy. I enjoy seeing people excited about stuff. So for me to be able to create something that creates a game night for your family, for your friends, that can create that excitement, that energy, I live for that. I want to create more game nights for people. I want people to smile. I don't know. that sounds cheesy, but that's true. I live for that.
I see. That's important that you have a bigger vision of the company and the game. So you don't give up easily like some other people would do. And with your background in IT, does it help with the processes?
It's funny you mentioned that. I go to these trade shows. So for people who are looking to get their foot in the door, I highly recommend trade shows. Find a trade show that your product would fit in. Buy the booth. It seems expensive, but it pays off. It's worth it. You got to go to those trade shows. When I'm at those shows, a lot of people ask me like, oh my gosh, your game's so cute. Were you a graphics design or? And I'm like, no, computer science. It's like the opposite. Totally not even in the same wheelhouse. I would say that computer science, if anything, when you're in the IT industry, you have to problem solve. That is the only thing you need to be good at. I have given a problem and how do I fix it?
Yeah.
And when you're creating a game, in my case, you're going to run into a lot of problems. You have to think about how all the mechanics will work with one another. You've got to be able to put yourself into other people's shoes. When I was playtesting, a lot of the time I was playtesting by myself sometimes. I would be at a table with six of me, and I would have to pretend I was someone else every time I got the cards and how I was strategized and pretend I didn't know what the other hands were. So problem solving is probably the biggest takeaway from computer science and how it helped me develop my game.
Since you mentioned about playtesting, I think that's very important in any kind of toys and games development cycle. What kind of feedback have you received initially when you are designing the gameplay and the rules?
The best feedback is honest feedback. And I would ask, like, I would literally go to clubs and I would bring pizza and I would be like, hey, I don't know, I'm here unannounced. Okay. Would you play my game and give me some honest feedback and you can have some of this pizza? And feedback just helped create the game. It helped mold it into what I wanted it to be. And I would take it seriously. I would go and I would get 200. And everyone's got feedback on a product. In fact, if I was to take this today still to a place and ask for feedback, I would get more. It would never end. But I would take it and I would try every single one of their suggestions. And I would see, okay, did this make the game better or worse in my opinion? A lot of the times it was better. There are some bad ideas and you scrap those or you say, thanks, here's your pizza. But most of the time they were great ideas and it helped mold the game into what it is. So yeah, if you're absolutely a young startup trying to create a game or any product, really play testing or product testing is the huge, it's key. Yeah. It's a good indicator too of whether your product is going to be successful and whether you should dump your heart and soul and wallet into making it a reality.
That's true.
Because if you play test it and you're watching it and you're like, they're not really loving it.
Yeah.
And that's probably a good indicator that they're not, other consumers are not going to love it.
Yeah.
But for me, I would have them play test it and people would ask me, can we keep this? I'm sorry, this demo cost me $500. For me, it was crucial. A big thing too for games. I need to be able to hand this product to you. And without me giving you any information about it, you need to figure it out.
How to play.
So instructions were hard. Getting it so that I could hand this to a stranger and they would play it the exact way I intended was difficult.
Yeah, that's a tricky part.
I wrote these instructions before the ChatGPT era. So it was even more difficult.
Yeah, because sometimes I would buy board game for my kids and I would be reading the manual for 30 minutes, still couldn't quite figure out how to play it. Sounds like overcomplicated.
So in my instructions, I have a video too. It has a link to a video. So if people don't want to read the instructions, they can just watch a quick 6-minute video explaining how to play. And I think that's also super crucial for any card or board game. You need to have a video. So many people are visual learners, and seeing you explain it for 6 minutes on a screen rather than trying to figure it out in the instructions for 30 minutes is a deal breaker for a lot of people.
I agree. Yeah. Sometimes it's a little bit easier to understand when you see the card game being played in action, changing hand, instead of reading through a paragraph of what you're supposed to do when you receive this card. A little bit harder to understand for sure.
Right.
As well, wrapping up today's interview, if you have to share just one piece of advice with someone that's getting started in the toy and game industry, what would that be?
Create something that you're proud of. Make something that you yourself would want to use or utilize, whether it's a board game. Make something you want to play. Don't just make something that to fill up a shelf. Because especially in the card game and board game industry, there are so many competitors and games out there. What stands out my game from others is that I'm passionate about it and I am proud of it and I will play it anytime, anywhere, regardless of who's with me. Yeah. It's my go-to game. And I'm not just trying to say that because it's my pride and joy, but I made something that I genuinely wanted to play because I have played all the other options out there. I would encourage you to make something you're proud of, something that 50 years, even if you didn't sell any games, you will still pull it out and still want to play it. Because if you want to play it, others will.
Yeah, that's a very good piece of advice. You have to love it yourself as a creator.
You have to. You cannot be in it for the money. I know that's why people want to do it, but you got to be in it for creating something that you're passionate about, for sure. Otherwise, it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And where can people find you online?
I'm on Amazon. You can search The Cactus Card Game, What's the Point? Or you can go to www.thecactuscardgame.com, or you can find it there as well. Yeah. I'm also on Instagram. You just search The Cactus Card Game, Facebook, all the social medias. But I'm not doing a lot of marketing on there. It's mostly just pictures of me and people playing it.
For our listeners, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Toy Business Unboxed podcast. We hope you have enjoyed the conversation and find it insightful and inspiring. If you like what you have heard, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. We really appreciate your support and would love it if you can leave us a review and share the podcast with your friend or colleague. For more resources, tips, and the latest update in the toys and game industry, visit our website at toy-launch.com. Join the conversation and connect with us on social media using hashtag ToyBusinessUnboxed. We'd love to hear your feedback and suggestions for future episodes. Until next time, keep innovating, keep creating, keep bringing joy to toys. This is Jason Shea signing off from the Toy Business Unboxed podcast. I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you, everyone.